Let's talk about divorce, how to be a good friend to someone going through it, and how to survive and even thrive if you're going through it yourself with advocate and writer Alyssa Panitz on this week's Band of Mothers podcast. Welcome back, breeders.
Hello, Banner Mothers Podcast.
We love you.
What's going on?
Oh my gosh.
Tracy T.
It's May.
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May. My daughter does not understand why I think that song is so funny.
Oh no, of course. They have no context.
And then it came on the radio the other day and she was like, what did she say? She was like, now why doesn't he speak proper English? Like it was somewhere. I was like, no. Don't you hear it's supposed to be me? She's like, but I don't understand why he says it wrong. I'm like, nobody does. That's why it's funny.
Well, speaking of weird things kids do this morning, Bo got into bed with me and he was like talking kind of strange because, you know, it's Colorado and it's so dry.
Yeah.
So I guess his throat was kind of dry and he was having a whole conversation with me like this. And he's like, what are we having for lunch today? And I was like, what's wrong with you? And he was like, my throat is dry. And just kept talking to me like that. And it was like one of the weirdest, funniest ways to start my day.
Oh, well, there you go.
This is like,
I mean,
talking in a way that doesn't hurt your throat.
Oh,
everyone try it.
Okay. It sounds like he's got a plugged nose.
It was so strange and cracking me up.
Well, anyway. It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May, which means we have
our Mother's Day Eve show.
Listen, people. If you have not gone to sellertickets.com or bandofmothers.com and gotten your tickets for Saturday night, May 8th, 6 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, Eastern, it's 9 p.m. Mountain, where we live, it's at 7 p.m. There will be a half-hour pre-show. There will be where there's prizes, mm-hmm. and you can submit the most fucked up thing your kid did recently. Mm-hmm. Shout out another mom. Lots of good mom love things happening. And then an hour 10 show, grab your breeder bubble and watch Tracy and I get our asses back on stage.
I mean, I'm so excited. Yes, let's break the internet, mom. So please go to bandofmothers.com, buy your Mother's Day Eve tickets. It's a great gift if you've got a sister or a girlfriend across the country and you want to send her a little love, buy her a ticket. It's super easy to do on the platform when you're checking out. Everyone's invited. Grandmothers love our show. Obviously, moms love our show. It's a great way to connect with other moms, again, across the country, all kind of zoning in on this one show together on Mother's Day Eve, our favorite night of the year.
And it's not Zoom. This is not a meeting. You are not attending a meeting.
No, you're watching a show, like
a
live show.
It's a live stream, multi-camera video production streamed through. You can get it on Apple TV. You can get it on Roku. You just download the Stellar app and you can watch it on...
Bounce it wherever. It's really great. It's going to be so much fun. So please tell all your friends, tell your school moms, tell your church moms. Everyone's welcome. We really want to see you there. And we just want to celebrate that we got through this together as a band of mothers. And it's going to be a great night. So bandofmothers.com, get your tickets, send presents, tell your friends, share, post all the things. We really appreciate it. It's going to be worth it.
Really appreciate it. There's an event page too. Go like the event page and get all the details.
Facebook. Yeah,
on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook. And then speaking of sharing, if you've been enjoying our podcast, it would just mean so much to us if you could take a couple minutes to just like and review or five-star us and write a review about our podcast on our page. It's just a way for us to reach more moms, and that means a lot.
It means that we can continue doing this podcast. Let's be completely honest. Please share this podcast. Please like it. Please star it. Because we want to be able to bring it to you forever.
Yeah, for sure. And again, if there's an episode that really resonates with you, just text it to a girlfriend who you think might enjoy it.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring.
I'm going to share something that's been heavy on my heart. And that is, I just don't understand Instapot cooking at all.
Why?
I don't know. Okay, so here's the thing. I have been grossed out for like a week and a half now. I made this dish that was like beans. It was like some Tuscan bean thing and you put a turkey leg in it and it was like turkey and beans and there was all these vegetables and broth and you cooked it for like a long time for an Instapot, like an hour or something, because you had to cook the beans. But then I had to let the steam out. Yet, like it wasn't it was cooking so long, I was like, okay, we've got to eat no matter, I got to check this thing. Because you can't mm-hmm. check. And it was like 7 o'clock or yeah. something. So I had to let the steam out. Mm-hmm. But it was so fragrant, obviously, from what was in the pot. And I just had this vision of like turkey juice steaming into my kitchen. And it's like, it smelled up my whole kitchen. It wasn't bad, but like, I just felt like I was like spraying my kitchen with like turkey steam.
You were.
And are you okay with that?
Well, if you were just cooking it open in a pot, it'd be the same thing. It's just not all coming out at once.
It felt very aggressive. And I just imagine like turkey juice and like small particles just like steaming in the air. I mean, yeah, I know if you're cooking in a pot, you're right. It just felt like, I just don't like it.
Oh.
And I know you do it all the time, but I can't be the only one that just like doesn't love Instapot cooking. I don't like that I can't see it. I can't stir it. I can't taste it. I can't check on it.
Well, you have to be very selective about what you decide to cook in there. So you got to like rice, easy peasy.
I do. That's the only thing I really use it yeah. for. I make rice in it every week.
But I do it for like jambalaya because you're not going to mess up your jambalaya.
But you need to add the spices and stuff.
Yeah, the spices go in there.
But then what if you don't? What if it needs a little like scooch more?
So when it's done cooking, then you taste it and then you add like a little bit of whatever.
And then you just have like sausage steam in your kitchen just like floating yeah. around.
Well, I've sausage steam in my kitchen is a metaphor for a lot of things. I don't mind that, but it's the same as it's like when Chris is cooking a meal, you walk in the house, the whole house smells like garlic or whatever. Yeah. Same thing. It just happens kind of at once.
I don't know. There's something about like juicy steam that's just like bumming me out. I can't get my brain off
your
of
the phrase juicy steam is bumming me out now.
I'm like I don't know if I can Instapot anymore besides my rice.
Yeah, then just don't do it.
Even Evie was just like, is that steam just going all over the kitchen? It just felt very aggressive. Oh, I mean, okay. Steam is aggressive.
Yeah.
No, you're not feeling my
look. I'm not a cook, so for me, if I can just throw everything in something that doesn't take as much planning as a crock pot. Like a crock pot, you need like hours and hours of planning. Like you need to put it all in the morning.
Time management, yeah.
Yeah, which is the part that stresses me out. Yeah. So the fact that I can make like a really good pork for like a bean bowl in 45 minutes, like, because I usually decide when I'm making like right before.
As do I.
So that is very good for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear if anybody else has aggressive juicy steam issues or if it's just me because I've been really upset by it.
With your Instapot.
Yeah. If it's your vag, we can talk about that too.
Juicy steam issues
with your vag.
We'll talk about that later.
I mean, please call us if that's your issue. I want to know all about that. You're coming on the pod.
Leave us a message.
You're like 100%. All right. I'm glad I got that off my chest. It's been bothering me.
Okay. Yeah, no one's going to force you to do the Instapot. Last thing I wanted to mention before we get into this great episode about divorce.
This great episode about divorce.
No, she really does spin it to like positive. She's pretty terrific.
She really is.
I just wanted to say that I am like the worst at spending money on nice sheets and stuff because like I feel like they always get, I don't wash them enough probably, and then they just kind of get ruined and they're so expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And so I usually buy cheap sheets and then they suck and then they like fall off the corner of the bed and you're like every day like pushing it, you know, the fitted one.
All sheets suck, but continue.
Casa Luna from the Target, I just picked, I think that's their new brand that they're carrying. Yeah. I just picked some up last week because we were switching the kids' beds around and I picked some up for myself. It was for a king size bed, it was $65, I think. I have slept so well on those damn Casa Luna sheets. I feel like a princess.
Like, no, they're so flippin' nice. Target sheets are legit. I have some of my favorite sheets are the other brand. I think it starts with an H.
Threshold?
Yes.
That's the ones that sucked for me.
No, the organic ones. Oh my gosh. And they've got the fitted are the best. They have the top and the bottom little tabs so you don't get in a fight when you're trying to put it on.
Oh.
Even Emily Henderson was like, these are the best sheets. Threshold Target sheets.
I don't know
sheets.
Who Emily
she's
Henderson
like, she was a big HGTV star back when I don't know. And she's a mom and she does these great roundups and she's like an interior designer and she's like, yeah, Threshold. Yeah, I get it. So I'm sure the Casa Luna is great. They know how to make sheets over there.
Yeah, it's good.
And they use that Oleotech standard. So it's not like, there's not like fire retardant in your sheets and stuff. Like they use like good materials.
Yeah, no chemicals that you're sleeping on. Yeah. Anyway, just wanted to share that with you guys. We always like to share.
Glad you upgraded your bed.
I seriously feel like a princess.
I get it.
It's pretty nice.
Now, if I could only find a fucking pillow that I liked.
That's true. But the problem with that is you can't test pillows.
I know. And then everyone's like, oh, this is the best pillow I've ever had. And then you buy it and it does nothing.
Well, everyone has such a different pillow preference.
Kate uses this one that's got like gel in it. It's a whole situation. And it's for side sleepers, which I am. And it's like a whole thing. It's cooling and it's got curves. And I went to buy it. It was like $90, which honestly, okay. And it was like so complicated. I just couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't get behind it.
I always like the one that there's like no pillow left inside.
Right.
Like when I first met Chris and we were dating, I had a pillow like that and we called it T-shirt.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'd be like, where's T-shirt? And
there was mine are so lumpy right now that like at 45, I should have adult pillows.
This is what I'm saying. It's time for sheets, ladies.
And sheets and pillows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you.
All right. Today's episode is with an amazing guest who has been through a divorce and decided to really shift her work as a journalist from years and years of writing and in the entertainment world, shifted to writing and helping women survive and thrive during a divorce. She's the director of content for the National Association of Divorce Professionals. She's reporter and editor of 5 Things You Need to Know to Survive and Thrive During and After a Divorce and co-host of All Things Divorce on Clubhouse. She's a delight, and she has really turned something that can be scary to talk about into something that is positive and is like making people's lives better. So
thrive is the operative word. Like she's just like thriving.
Yeah. And she, you know, you'll hear in this interview, but it's so much about moms. We are the foundation of the family.
Yeah.
If you're not happy and
ain't nobody happy.
Something's got to change. So,
and also we talk about a lot, like if you're not going through a divorce, still relevant because we talk a lot about how to be a good friend, what not to do. And I think especially this year, you know, marriages have been really put to the test. So I would surmise that most of us tuning in either know someone or are going through a divorce. So it's a really timely, good, just positive, I don't know, somehow she manages to fill a really dark topic with like joy and compassion and understanding.
Yeah. So everybody, please enjoy this interview with the great Alyssa Panitz. Alyssa Panitz, thank you so much for joining us on Band of Mothers. Tell us a little bit about how you shifted your career into talking about divorce and motherhood during divorce.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It is an honor talking with you both. It actually happened during COVID. So talk about the positives of that. But I was going through a divorce, and I've always been a journalist, always been a news hound. And one day I was just doing what I always do for work. I just kept flipping through the channels. And I noticed that there were correspondents to talk about the election and COVID and entertainment and sports. And I screamed out loud, where's the divorce journalist? And there wasn't one. So poof, I decided to create it and combine what I had been going through personally into what I've been doing professionally for well over 20 years.
And how old are your kids?
14 and 11 today.
Oh, happy birthday, 11-year-old.
Happy birthday.
It's fun.
Love that. So when you say it happened during COVID, your sort of shift into divorce journalism happened during COVID.
Yeah. Everybody was reinventing themselves, who got let go, and they were taking their hobbies and turning them into new careers. And I'm all about reinvention. And that's one of the big things people do during a divorce. They reinvent themselves professionally or personally. And I just figured, why not? It's a great time to do it. I was in between jobs because of COVID. So, and I saw the need for it. And I'm not giving up being a journalist. I'm just going out, doing everything I did, looking for those people who can help people during a very difficult time. And every day I get to talk to lawyers, therapists, believe it or not, there's filmmakers, dating coaches, divorce coaches, people in the financial industry, and we're educating people going through a very difficult time. So as they say, like my column, survive and thrive.
Excellent.
So would you say that you, was that like that moment, that aha moment, the point where you sort of felt that reinvention take place? Or do you think you had like dramatically shift after your divorce anyway? And this was just like the natural progression.
Well, for me, it actually came with a dream that I had. And it was from an interview I did back with Marie Osmond, who is my childhood idol, many years ago. And she told me when we did this interview, I asked her, yeah, how is it that you've gone through so much and yet you are at the top of your game, always smiling and always fabulous? And she put her hand on mine and said, Alyssa, sometimes life's not meant to be fair, but it's what you do with it that makes you who you are. And it woke me up out of the dead
sleep. She said this to you in a dream?
No, well, no, she said it to me in real life, but I had a dream and I was replaying that interview.
Okay, wait. So you had your aha, like life-changing thing said to you by your childhood idol. She touched your hand and told you this.
And like gave you like
the best advice of your life.
The best advice. And that we did this interview back in 2017, but for whatever reason, at 2 a.m, it just replayed in my head and I shot up out of a dead sleep. And I was like, and there's my answer. And that's when, you know, I said to myself, that's it. I cannot let divorce define me. I have to do something with it and show people who I am. And I'm a survivor and I'm an educator and I'm a communicator. And it was just a matter of finding the right fit on how to put all those things together. So I always go back and say, I thank Marie Osmond for that interview back in 2017. Because it really was what sparked everything. And then what I said earlier, flipping through the channels and noticing there's nobody out there doing this. And there are so many people who go through a divorce and have no clue how to get out of this very dark, complicated maze that just, it just hurts them financially and emotionally and on the friend circuit. And I'm like, I'm going to help you.
Well, let's dig into that, because I think, you know, we've talked about on a relationship episode how COVID has really affected relationships and marriages. But I know personally, you know, as someone who has some close friends who are just kind of dealing with some major issues right now, and, you know, if divorce is on the table, having kids complicates everything even further, right? So at what point do you decide... you know, and as their friend too, just to be completely honest, it's hard because you're like, gosh, they might be better apart, but what about the kids, right? So, because you want their kids to be able to fare through it, and you want everyone, you want all the friends to be able to still hang out, you know, and it's strange looking from the outside because you generally know both people as well. At what point, when you're in that process of just not being your true happy self in your marriage, do you have to just say, okay, it's not about the kids anymore? The kids will be happy if I'm happy. Like, is it the longest process of your life? Is it a aha moment? What was it for you?
I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. You know, to be the best mom you can be, and moms are the foundation. That foundation has to be rock solid. And if you are not happy within yourself, and you're not happy within your marriage, you're not going to be good for your kids, and your kids need you. I call it the job that's 25/8 and 366 days a year. There is no such thing as a day off. And it is the most important job that we all have. And let me stress, I don't advocate for divorce. I don't push for it. I just say, if you're in the middle of it and you have to go through it, that's why I'm here to help you. But I always say to people, if your marriage can't be fixed and you are that miserable, then yes, divorce may be your only solution as a way out. And how do you do that? Well, you have to start putting together a team. And in terms of the friends, you want to look for the quality friends versus the quantity. You don't want anybody sitting there throwing gasoline on the fire, igniting something that's already there. Your job is to surround yourself with the right people who can help guide you making good decisions. And that starts with building a team. So if you have to sit and talk to your soon-to-be ex, and it's a private conversation, Find the moms that will take your kids out of that environment and put them in a happy environment. Mm. Find moms maybe who have walked in those shoes, who can give you advice on how they got through it, where they churned for, you know, extra help, where they churned to put their teams together. And anything that you can do to continue to build yourself up in a positive way and not a negative way. The friends, it's tricky. You know, there's always going to be people that feel weird. Am I allowed to be friends with you? Am I allowed to be friends with them? What am I allowed to say? Because we don't want it to get back to the other one and we don't want to be put in the middle. It's a very tricky situation. And I always say that if people can take themselves and leave themselves out of it, you can absolutely be friends. But if it's going to turn into where you're going to have to be very guarded what you say to them because you don't want it to get back to the other side, then sometimes maybe it's just best to break away and separate and just get on a new path and create new friends.
So what are some tips you have to be a good friend? I can relate only having gone through infertility, and I know the things that people have said to me that just ruin you for sometimes years. And I'm certain that that situation is the same when you're going through divorce. There's those well-intended comments that just cut you to the core. So what can we do as friends, as a band of mothers, if you've got a girlfriend who's going through a divorce? What's your advice or some tips?
I think one of the best things you can do is show support. Everybody feels so isolated and you feel like it has been targeted and you are the only one going through it. And it is the worst. Mm. The best thing you can do is let the person going through it come to you and just be a good ear. And let them share what they're going through. If you know somebody and you have a friend who went through it, maybe match them up. Maybe sometimes, you know, introducing your friend who's going through a divorce to somebody else you know who went through a divorce is going to be helpful. Try not to say, oh yeah, I saw your soon-to-be ex-husband on the train. He looked really sad. You know, try to stay away from that. Try to shift onto things that she needs. And I'll go back to what I said before, support. Offer to take the kids so she can go get a manicure or go to the gym or go for a walk. Or maybe she just needs to see her lawyers and she just doesn't have childcare right now. Offer, if you're going to the store, offer to get her milk or things she may need for the kid. Offer to drive the kids on an extra carpool. It's some of those little things that can mean such a big difference. Organize a girls' night out and tell all the people coming, let's not talk about it. Let's try to build her up. Let's look for, now that things are opening, a fun restaurant. Maybe there's going to be a little music. Maybe everybody just buys her dinner. It does not have to be expensive. It could be something cheap. Something is pizza. Everybody loves pizza. It makes us happy. But just little things to take her out of that environment to show your support, because that's what they need.
And what about, like you said, you know, I love that. Like, take her out, buy her dinner. That's such an easy thing and you don't have to make a big deal out of it. And no one likes to be like, oh, here's your pity dinner. We're going to take you out. But it seems like there's probably a balance between glossing it over and not acknowledging the elephant in the room versus saying, like, putting all the focus on, oh, look at this one friend in our group that's going through a divorce. How do you find that balance? And how do you know when to talk about it and when not to talk about it?
Great question. For me, I think one of the greatest things was I had a friend take me out for dinner and she just said, I am here. And whenever you are ready to talk, I will be that ear and that will listen. I will be that voice that will help you stay in a good place. You don't want to keep going through the negative. Negative is already there. You know, and when you survive, your kids will survive. And that was really the magic words I needed to hear. I needed somebody to not just remind me of everything, but just show me that there is going to be a better day. It may not be at that very moment, but it is coming ahead. And she would be in my corner, no questions asked, just to be that sounding board that I needed.
Mm-hmm. I think it can be really hard to not feel like you're going to influence it in some way. So really just to focus on being an ear and not you know, especially with close friends, that must be, you know, really difficult not to, I mean, I certainly think like what are the things that are allowed to be advised? I mean, seek therapy, like get help, like, is that overstepping or is it, you know, is it just kind of like, I guess my point is, it sounds like it feels so isolating when you're going through that because the decision is ultimately yours and your partner's. So how can your friends support you and not influence? I mean, it sounds, you know, you're going to have that girlfriend that's like, you know what? He's always been a loser. You know, like it's just, you know, and it's just like, on one hand, that could make your friend feel great and ready to just step ahead and find the love of her life or not, you know, it's tread, you have to tread so lightly. No?
I think the one great thing about being a mom is we have a great gut. Our instincts are never wrong. If you're sitting there with your friend and you know, oh, it's not the time or the place to tell her the importance of putting her kids in therapy or she should talk to a support group, then, you know, step away. There will come a time and there will come a place. You know, we as moms, we just know when to push the buttons and we know when to back away and wait for another opportunity. And there will be plenty of them because your friend is going to need you. And that's another thing. You know, just sometimes your friend may just need an ear. And if you feel that, you know, that gut that we were just talking about is saying, you know what, this may be a good opportunity for her to know that there's help out there, or I know people who turn to help and how it benefited their situation, I just say, listen to that inner voice. It will never steer you wrong.
Yeah.
And what do you, and if you had experience with this and you'd like to share, great. You know, when you are dealing with groups of friends and the breakup of that dynamic, how do you navigate that, both from your side going through it, maybe, you know, the men pair off and the women pair off, or there's a pairing. How do you navigate that? And then what are the expectations on the other side of those, of that couple friend that might still be together, but still loves the two of you as a unit?
Well, like, who gets to keep you, Alyssa? Well, does someone get to keep you?
Well, I think the most important thing is, you know, just setting boundaries with your friends and saying, listen, you know, we have a long history together and you may make reference to when you guys were, let's say, a foursome. And I'd love to keep the friendship, but, you know, we're going to have some limitations as to the kind of conversations we could talk about. Mm-hmm. So I would appreciate if you don't bring up my ex so-and-so. I don't want to get too much into my personal life because I'm just concerned maybe you're going to tell the other side. And I think it's better that they have their life now and I have my life now. And also, you may not want it to get back to the kids because, again, the kids are the main focus in protecting them. They should only know that mommy and daddy loves them. And if friends can respect that, you know, the friendship is going to maybe just be a little different. It's not going to be a foursome. We may be out the three of us. I may just, you know, go out with the wife. I may run into your husband and sit with him on the train. And we can stay within those parameters. Absolutely, you should keep the friendship.
I love all your train. I want a life where I just get on a train in the morning. That's delightful.
We just get on horses here in Denver.
Yeah, we just ride. We ski to our jobs.
Train talk. What happens on the train stays on the train.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
Is there a sense of, you know, if your girlfriend does take your kids or is watching your kids? Where are the boundaries there in terms of if those kids open up to your friend? Is there a sense of vulnerability or of protectiveness of like, okay, that line you don't get across, that's not for you to advise my children? Like what can we do if we're watching your kids for the afternoon while you're at the lawyer's office, for example?
Well, I always say, you know, like you said, be careful when you're on that line. You don't want to step on the wrong side of it. But the safest answer to always say, and one that's truthful, you know, mommy or daddy had to just run out to an appointment, and always remember your mom and dad love you so much. And how lucky are you that you have two parents who love you so much and we love you and we're going to continue play dates and we'll always coordinate with mom and dad. So we get to everybody gets to continue to see each other, and nothing about, you know, all the things mom does without highlighting the things dad does. Mm. And, you know, it just stay neutral. And I always say less is more, and just speak the truth. And the truth is mommy and daddy do love their kids. Mm-hmm. And just stick to that. Try not to get yourself involved, because again, we don't want to create a fire. We're trying to put them out and survive and thrive. Like I always say, I say it over and over a million times a day, but that's the mindset I want people to have.
And right. What do you mean by survive and thrive? Yeah.
Well, divorce is tough. I mean, you know, no one's ever survived. I mean, it can kick your butt on multiple levels. So it's not only, like you said, you're losing this person who you thought was the love of your life. It could change everything. It may change the family dynamic. It could change where you live. It could change, you know, the money. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are going to get involved to help you dissolve your marriage. So, you know, lawyers and accountants and all these other people. So, yeah, you know, that's tough. And you need to always know you're going to survive this. Divorce is temporary. It's a pit stop. It's not your whole life. It does not define you. It just may be, I call it that something, and everybody's got a something in their life. And I always put that word in quotations. This may be your temporary something, but you are going to thrive. And you said something earlier before, you know, you want to have the life you want. This is not a dress rehearsal. We get one shot at this. Mm-hmm. And so you want to be able to have the life you want. And it could be going back to the office. It could be reinventing yourself and changing your career. It could be finding the person that's better suited for you. And I think the most important thing, taking the toxicity out of your home and making a calmer one for all people involved.
Yes, I love that. Before you get to that point and things are real rocky, or there's that sort of dark period before the final decision is made, how do you lean on friends during that point, especially, you know, in a more adverse situation, like a much more aggressive, or say, you know, one person, it's like very necessary that one person actually has to leave, either for safety or mental safety or whatever. And the friends are sort of sitting on the outside watching that. Like, what are those parameters that you can advise on?
Well, know the right friends. And okay. Know the people that are really, really going to be there for you and help guide you the best way possible. Not the friend who's going to be like, oh, it's them again. And they'll just say anything to get you off the phone. The person who's going to give you the right advice at that moment. And if you feel you're leaning on your friends a little too much because they have their own families to take care of and they're dealing with kids and homework and all the other things, I always say therapy is a great resource. Somebody who is unbiased, somebody who taps in to the human psyche, who can really help get you to where you want to be and say the right things in that moment. Because again, you need to keep everything up here healthy, so everything here is healthy. So you're being, and again, I'll go back to that foundation, keeping that solid foundation for your kids. It helps if you have a friend who's been through it, either themselves or maybe a parent or a sibling. Maybe they can have you talk to that family member who's gone through it. I think people relate better when they said, okay, they get it. They've walked in my shoes. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be that sounding board, try to do a lot of listening and try to think, what would I do if I was in a situation where I just needed to calm myself down, and try to give that advice to your friend, because that's what we need to do.
It's so hard because I feel like myself especially, but I feel like a lot of people always want to be helpers, right? Especially good friends. You just want to help. You want to either solve their marriage or help them out of it. You know, there's not really like a lot in, you know, you just, when you see somebody in pain who you love, you just want to solve it. And I think that's a really, can be probably a very insensitive way to be a friend during something like that, because ultimately it's not up to you to solve. So, you know, I love your less is more strategy as somebody on the outside, because I can see how, you know, being a sounding board is so much more important than being a problem solver.
It is. And listen, we all want to problem solve. We want to do it all day long for our kids. We want to do it at the office. And, you know, we want to do it in our personal lives. But sometimes we are just not in a position to do that. It doesn't mean that the intentions are not there, but it just means that, as I say, it may be above our pay grade in that we're not trained for it. And if you've never really dealt, especially in divorce where there are high conflict situations, I mean, there are incidents where the police are involved, there's domestic violence that's going on. I mean, a lot of people don't know, okay, how do I help my friend now that all this is happening? What do I say? I don't know. This isn't, you know, what I'm trained for. And so that's why I say sometimes less is more. You can be there. And sometimes it could just be a hug. Sometimes it can just be getting them a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and just letting them just sit in a peaceful environment and just holding their hand. I think what people need to know, especially if you want to be that friend, is that you're there. So you don't need to say a lot in order to do a lot. Mm.
Can I pull an oracle card for them? I feel like that's the only power I have here. Let's see what the universe has to say for you right now.
What are some, it's fascinating to me in 2021, how many stigmas still exist around divorce. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested to see, I have a lot of feelings about, you know, Gwyneth's conscious uncoupling on, you know, and as a kid from divorce parents, then it was very ugly. I was like, fuck you, that never happens. But also I'm like, wow, that would have been really nice if that happened, you know, to me, because I got stuck in the middle a lot. But what are some stigmas now that exist today still that you just wish people would just get over when it comes to going through a divorce?
I'm so glad you asked that, because that's one of the missions that I am on. And when you say the word divorce, everyone's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, they're face goes down.
Right.
You know, I could say the word, sunshine, and your whole face lights up. You're like, oh my God, yay, it's nice, we're going outside. And you just go on and on of all the great things you do. But I say divorce and your whole face drops. And I want to shift that. And it was really interesting. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago and they said, well, we only talk about happy things, but if you have ideas, send them our way. I said, divorce. The guy was like, you're kidding. I said, give me your email. I'm going to send you a top 10 list. And how quickly he had me on. And he's like, I never thought of it this way. I go, that's my point. You know, Everybody thinks divorce is bad. And I'm not saying it's all good. And again, I am not promoting it. But guess what? So many amazing things can come out of it. And what's more important than your happiness? And what's more important than having everybody in happy, calm, peaceful homes? You know, when people are in bad marriages, like you said, and I'm sorry for what you had to go through, that's not healthy for a child. Children like familiarity, stability, and they thrive when things are good. Well, things are not good if you guys are fighting, slamming doors, sleeping apart, you know, eating separately, on each other's phones and not giving each other the time of day. And yet everybody's in the same household, but yet we might as well be in different states. That's not healthy for a child. Mm-hmm. It's not about the size of the house, but what you build is a home. And it's not breaking up a family. It's just, it may look a little bit differently. You get one mom and you get one dad. That never changes. But how amazing would it be if they see happy parents? You know what? Kids need to know that there's always another chance. Think about when you're on the playground. We ask for a do-over. And, you know, parents get that. And I think it's an important lesson for them to teach their kids that this time may not have worked out, but another time may. And we need to really teach this generation that, you know what? It's okay. If this wasn't meant to be, something else is. And I think it's a really positive lesson that we should be teaching our children.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's a definite stigma that, like, you just, this is it, and then you're just done, and then you've just got the scarlet D on your chest for the rest of your life.
That's just beginning.
Yeah. It's so true.
I got to meet all these new women who've become my army. They are amazing and fabulous. You know, we get together when we can. It's been hard with COVID, but we got resourceful and we Zoomed. I became friends with a lot of, you know, guys, and I loved having guy friends that I would have never met before who were divorced. And it was nice to have a male voice and a sounding board to give me a different perspective on things. And I formed all these new amazing friendships. I reinvented my career where I kind of hung up the red carpet and the Hollywood sign. And now I'm out there trying to really educate and help people in a very different way. So, you know, there are some positives that can come out of it. And that's what I really want people to know. Divorce does not have to be doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Well, and as a mom, like you said, a happy home is, I mean, game changing for kids' mental health. Just that tension alone, just that energy of people who just are at each other, or, you know, who just don't even want to be there.
Well, your kids know when you're not happy. Your kids know when you're stressed and unhappy, and they absorb that so much, and they may not even have the words to describe it, but they know, they feel it. Mm-hmm. And they don't want an unhappy mom.
No,
they don't. And it's also a way to rebond with your kids a little bit differently. And again, it's the one thing people have to do is they have to shift their attitude. And sometimes what you think is really bad can actually be something that's really good. And, you know, Tony Robbins once talked about when he was around 11 or 12 years old, his dad left and he had two siblings. Mom didn't work and they were like super, super, super poor. And his mom had to go out and hustle. And he was talking about it was the worst day of his life at that moment. Turned out it was the best thing that ever happened to him because he wound up a couple years later meeting his mentor and look where he is right now. He is the most sought after successful motivational coach that we have. And he said he used it as a teaching lesson and even teaches his own family that sometimes what you think is bad can actually turn into a positive. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And even if you hate your ex and even if you really have nothing nice to say, don't do it to the kids, you know, reassure them that, look, I'm doing okay. Your mom or dad are doing okay. And that makes us okay. And if we change our attitudes and the messages that we are sending, again, I use those two words because they really are the theme of my column. Everybody's going to survive and thrive and be okay. And they won't look at divorce as being all sad and ugly. And again, I know it can be, but again, you want to focus on the positives that can come out of it because that's the message we want to convey to our children.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like you said, it's a pit stop, you know, and Shay and I have been talking about this a lot lately, that like life doesn't have to be in a linear line. You are allowed to take curves and turns and forks in the road and go back and make U-turns and try it again. Mm-hmm. We are allowed to do that. And I think specifically in American culture, I think we've just been somehow convinced that you choose this one way, this one way of being, this one way of thinking, this one way of acting, this one career, this one family, all these things. And like that's how you have to stay. And if anyone deviates, it's like everyone's like, no, that's not allowed. But it's you do. You can have do-overs. Every day is a do-over, really.
And
you know,
still be an awesome mom.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And what would you rather be, in the narrow tunnel or on the parkway where you can zigzag and, like you said, get off the exits and check out the different towns and try all the different restaurants and get back on and zigzag a little more? It's You're so right. Who wants to be in the narrow tunnel? I don't.
No.
And I think a lot of these experiences help build us. Mm-hmm. And we can use everything as a teaching tool, like what you went through. You know, you teach your family about the strength you have. I mean, what better thing to teach your family than look what mommy's made of and mommy's titanium and so are you, because life's not always going to be fair. It's just not. It's going to throw us things that we didn't ask for. You know, you didn't ask for your situation, but, you know, you did something about it. You kept persevering. That speaks a lot about you. That makes you a good role model.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. But I think the lesson, and it took me a long time to learn because, frankly, my parents didn't allow me to think it, is that there is a chance for a do-over, right? Like this isn't the end. This isn't bad that we're getting off this path. Like that wasn't relayed to me in a way that made me understand that I'm going to like that I
thrive
can
and survive.
Yeah, survive and thrive. It's like, you can't even see the end of the tunnel. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And, but to teach your kids, like I'm flowing with life, kids. Like this is just part of this crazy journey that we're on in this blip of time. gives your kids like this amazing ability to navigate their own lives and understand that they can try things on and it doesn't work and you can survive and thrive. It's genius.
Well, that's what we always say too about kids in general, that they're much more resilient than we think. And so, you know, staying in an unhappy marriage because you're afraid or don't believe that they have that resilience is probably not the best choice for them or yourself.
And kids, you know, you nailed it. Kids are resilient, and you have to turn every negative into a positive. So let's say you have to move. You know, of course, the immediate is, oh, we're losing our house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but guess what? When we go to the new place, you get to pick a new room and you get to help me decorate and you get to have, you know, your friends over once COVID, restrictions.
Right.
And we get to like build this all over again. And when you make it fun and you make it engaging and you make it positive, yes, kids are resilient. They will be okay. But you have to set the tone. And this really falls a lot on moms. You know, again, it goes back to, we are the foundation of our families. Think of all the husbands who say, let me check with the missus, let me check with my wife, or the kids always first have to ask mom before they ask dad. It always comes back to us. So be the one who sets the tone for how this is all going to play out. And again, it may be a little rocky at times, very normal, very common, but you can also turn it into a great, great lesson that they can learn from. And I think that's what it's all about. Life is not always going to go their way. You know, we're not going to be able to fix every little boo-boo that goes on, whether it's at school, on the playground, at soccer, at sleepaway camp. And we need them to learn how to problem solve and figure these things out. And this is a great way that they can do it. And kids learn a lot about themselves as well, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
They learn how to adjust.
Yep.
Because they're going to have to go from one home to the other. And, you know, and they learn how to acclimate a lot better.
And they're not the only ones. I mean,
You're not in a bubble.
No, I mean, it's not, I cannot speak. There are a lot of divorced parents. People are fine. They do fine. Like, this is what I was trying to spit out of my mouth just there.
Absolutely. Yes. I know friends of mine who I grew up with who said, you know, after their parents divorced, it became such a better environment. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't involved in the, you know, like you said, unfortunately, getting put in the middle and being, you know, the witness to all the fighting or hearing all the bad words, you know, from their bedrooms. It became a better place. Some people talked about the positive role models step parents played in their lives.
Yeah. I felt that way after my mom had her hysterectomy. Everything just got so much nicer in our house. She divorced her uterus, basically. Thank you. This has been so enlightening, and I'm sure it will help so many moms. And can you please tell them where they can find you and your articles so that other people can get your support?
Absolutely. So it's really easy. Authority Magazine is on the Medium platform. So if you just, you can just easily Google it. You can go to Authority Magazine and just type in my name, Alyssa Panitz. It's what I use for all my social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. It's just my name, pretty easy. Divorce is hard enough. Let me just take all the pressure off and make it easy breezy. Awesome. Any expert who I interview, I will link to where you can find them. Again, I know your brain is crammed with stuff from all the divorce and all the chaos, and you just don't have room for anything else. So I take care of it all for you. Find me. I'm here. I'm out there. I'm going to keep talking about divorce and changing and shifting the way we think about it and bringing you all the experts so they can help you get out of this maze as quickly as possible to save you time, money, and of course, all that unwanted stress.
Absolutely.
And we'll put all of that in the show notes as well.
Well, Alyssa, thank you so much for all your wise words and your support of mothers. This is amazing. So we want to get to know you a little bit better as just Alyssa. So we're going to ask you a round of questions in 1 minute, and you just answer as fast as you can. And if you don't have an answer, just say pass. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Where do you live?
New York.
Tacos or pizza?
Pizza.
What's your middle name?
Sue.
What's your favorite fast food?
My what?
Your favorite fast food.
Oh, fast food. Buttermilk biscuits at KFC.
Oh. What's your favorite quote unquote bad movie that you watch over and over?
Bad movie I watch over and over. Oh my God. I love Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, perfect. Beach vacation or mountain vacation?
Oh, beach.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Friends.
Do you have any piercings? No. Other than your ears?
No. I'm boring. What,
what's your astrological sign?
Sagittarius.
What's your go-to happy place?
Binge watching Criminal Minds.
Ooh. Oh. What's your favorite breakfast food?
Fruit.
Okay, and your vagina's name is the last TV show you watched.
What is it?
Oh, I was watching Criminal Minds last night.
Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
The vagina.
I was binge watching.
Love it.
I love it.
So funny. Alyssa, awesome. Thank you so much for all of your inspiration and enlightenment to something that can, like you said, seem very dark. We really appreciate you coming on the pod.
No, thank you. This was an honor.
And if someone hasn't told you recently, we just want to remind you, you are an awesome mom and you are doing a great job. You keep it up.
So delightful.
Thank you, Alyssa.
Divorce is so delightful.
You know, no. It's just, honestly, it's really hard to know what to say. It's just, it is. And mm-hmm. you don't want to influence and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to make your friends feel bad if something nice happened to you. There's just, it's sensitive topic. So thank God she's talking about it so openly.
And it's she's so true though. But at the end of the day, all things in life just come down to mindset, right? Like you can either view it, you know,
as a doorway or a brick wall.
Yeah.
Look at me.
I'll be starting my coaching services soon.
I will not. I'll coach you on crypto. Yeah. That's it.
Once again, if you're still listening, I wish people could double tap. Like, is there some way to indicate that you're still listening at the end of the podcast? please go buy your tickets to the Pump and Dump Show Mother's Day Eve special, bandofmothers.com. Follow us on the gram at Band of Mothers Official, especially for updates on the show and different things that we're going to be doing.
And we'll have all of Alyssa's information. Reach out to her. Mm-hmm. She's such a delightful person and she would be more than happy to answer any questions that you have about this episode.
She's got like a Facebook page and a really great resource website. She's a wealth of knowledge.
Yes. And make sure that you share and like this episode, leave a review, and make sure that you subscribe so that you can download all of the Band of Mothers podcast episodes the day they come out.
I mean, when they're fresh out of the Instapot, they're fresh and steamy. Hot turkey juice just spraying my walls. Bye, guys.